Good morning. Today's Daf Beis on Lamed Ches. We are rounding out the end of the Masechta. We are here in the fifth parak and the last several dapim of the Masechta. First, two big topics we're going to be covering today and talk about Shas topics, talk about a Shas Daf. So topic number one today on the Amud Aleph is going to be Breira, and topic number two on the Amud Beis today is going to be Bittul. Okay, Breira and Bittul. Cannot ask for a more fundamental Daf in Shas. So let's start with Breira. Okay, so how's Breira coming up? So it's coming up over the following. So we know that on Shabbos and on Yontif, so there is an issue of Tchum. So the idea is that on Yontif and Shabbos, so you cannot walk beyond a certain limit. You are capped in terms of the distance in which you can walk. So 2,000 amas beyond your Makom Shvisa. If you live in a city, 2,000 amas be beyond the boundary of the city. So this is true both on Shabbos and on Yontif. And so now what happens with your with your chafatzim, with all your objects? So any object you own is going to be following your tchum. So any item of my ownership is going to be circumscribed within the perimeter in which I can walk. If I can walk only 2,000 amas, my items can only go out 2,000 amas. And again, my items, assuming that there's no issue of hotzah, there's no hotzah. But okay. But now our big discussion yesterday is what about items that are owned in partnership between two people, and those two people don't have the shared tchum. So what happens under those circumstances? So basically what we learned yesterday is punnet square. And the idea is that basically the item can only be taken to shared area within the joint partners. But the item cannot be taken out more. In fact, yesterday we talked about the tuxedo rental. Not exactly the Gemara's words, but we talked about a tuxedo rental where you had two people who rented the tuxedo in Shudfus in partnership. And they had barely, they just had a little bit of overlap in their two tchumim. And so the Gemara said yesterday that as far as the tuxedo is concerned, so basically cannot go beyond that common area. That's it. Good. So this is the idea that we were discussing yesterday. And then we had a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and not yet. That's the beginning of today's talk. We had a machlokus yesterday between Rav and Shmuel regarding a barrel and animal that was owned in partnership. The barrel of wine was owned in a partnership and the animal was owned in a partnership. And so Rav took the position yesterday, Chavis Muteris Behem Asura, that as far as the barrel is concerned, the barrel is going to be mutter. Meaning that what happens now is that when I divvy up the barrel, so I get my half and you get your half. So Rav says mutter, meaning I could take it to anywhere within my tchum and you could take your portion to anywhere within your tchum. So presumably because Rav holds of Breira. Now, as far as the animal is concerned, so we discussed it yesterday and I'm going to recommend right now that we skip the discussion regarding the animal because that part does get a little bit technical. And then Shmuel's of the position that Shmuel says usser, that the barrel of wine is going to be usser. Why? Because he doesn't subscribe to Breira. Okay, good. So that's what we saw yesterday. And so on the heels of that discussion, the Gemara now is going to continue having a really similar discussion. So my Havi'Allah. So this is where we're starting. This is where we left off yesterday. So we are on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and it's about 7-8 lines down from the bottom of the Amud. A little bit more. 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Okay, my Havi'Allah. So where do we land with all this? So Rav Oshi Amar Yesh Breira, Rav Yochanan Amar Ein Breira. So what we land with this is a basic machlokus amongst the Amoraim in terms of whether or not we subscribe to Breira. We don't subscribe to Breira. And let's just simply spell this out. We've gone over this numerous times, and okay, good. The more we go over it, the more we review, so the better we're going to be able to digest all this information. And that is that let's start off with Rav Oshi. Rav Oshi subscribes to Breira. What does that mean? It means that when we went into Yontif, so we had a joint venture. We both owned 50% of the barrel of wine. Okay, good. And now we know that we both have tchum and our items have tchum. Now it happens to be that the wine was not divided before Yontif. In other words, tchum, you're kona tchum during Bein HaShemashos. So Bein HaShemashos becomes a critical moment in which tchum takes effect. And we didn't divide the wine during Bein HaShemashos. We only divided it on Yontif itself. So Rav Oshi, who subscribes to Breira, is basically saying the following. Hover hadavar lamafreya, that retroactive determination will tell us that the 50% that I got was a 50% that was always entitled to me. In other words, it's a gilu, it's a revelation that's the part that was always coming to me, even from the beginning, even when they were mixed together. Ah, okay, fine. It, We didn't see the division until later on, but this division that's occurring now really occurred even before Yantav began. That's if you hold the Breira. And that not only, of course, is that true for me, it's true for you as well, meaning that each one of the partners who now actually receive their 50%, so that goes retroactive to before Bein HaShemeshos of Yantav, and therefore I have mine, and you have yours. Mine can go within my tchum, yours can go within your tchum. That's Rav Hoshea. And presumably, Rav Hoshea says it's not only regarding the barrel of wine, but also regarding the animal as well. Again, I know I skipped over the discussion regarding the animal, because by the animal, it does get a little bit more complicated because there's this idea of yanika, which we spoke about yesterday. But again, I don't want to open that up again because, quite frankly, the Gemara's not going to, so we're not going to as well. Okay, and now let's move on to Rav Yochanan. So right now, the way it's presented, that Rav Yochanan ain breira. So he does not subscribe to this idea of retroactive determination. And so that means to say that according to Rav Yochanan, so during Bein HaShemeshos, when it was in a partnership, so who did it belong to? We don't know. We literally don't know. Maybe me, maybe you. In other words, it was all mu'urav, it was mixed together. And then on Yantav itself, when we divide it, so if I don't subscribe to Breira, so now the 50% that I'm acquiring it right now. It's not really an acquisition. It's just, you know, we're dividing it. It was my 50% all along, but I'm acquiring it right now. And it's post Bein HaShemeshos, and therefore we don't say that this 50% that I got now is going to follow my tchum, because I don't know which 50% I got. Okay, it could be that it's all mixed together. Okay, so this is the basic machlokes between Rav Hoshea and Rav Yochanan. So right now, the way we're presenting it, Rav Hoshea subscribes to Breira, and Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Breira.
Common area they can.
Common area they can go. 100% agreement. Okay. V'savar Rav Hoshea yesh Breira. So the Gemara says now, does Rav Hoshea really hold the Breira? So the Gemara says, so let's go over discussion. Now, this will be the second time in our Masechta that we have this precise discussion and this precise Mishnah that we're going over. It's Mishnah in Olos, V'atanan. So the Mishnah in Olos tells us the following. This is the seventh parak of Olos. Okay, so the Mishnah says the following. So you have a mace in the house, and there are a lot of exits and a lot of egresses. And so we know that while the mace is in the house, so anything under the roof, under the shared roof, is going to become tame. But underneath the lentils consider a separate area, and they're not going to be tame. However, we also have the idea of tumas oflatzes, that depending on where the mace is going to be taken out, so the area under the lentil is going to become tame. But let's say there are multiple exits, and what happens under those circumstances? So the Mishnah discusses. So pesachim harbe, so there are multiple exits, so kulan tamein. So they're all going to become tame. In other words, so because we don't at this point in time don't know which exit we're going to use, so therefore they all have a tumah. Now niftach echa mehem hu tamei v'kulan taren. So let's say you open one of the doors. So now it's not even just a thought; it's an action. So you're opening one of the doors. So there's no better revelation that that's the one we're going to use. So from this point going forward, now I know I slipped that phrase in, and in a moment we're gonna spend more time on that. But from this point going forward now. So the area under the open door is going to be tame, and all the other lentils of all the other openings are going to be tower. Now chishev lautzio becha mehem o bechalin sheish lo bo arba al arba matzalsav al psachim kulan. Now let's say it's just a machshava. So we didn't actually physically open the door, but we verbalized and we said we're going to go out that door, and you point to one of the exits. So that exit is going to be tame. All the other exits are going to be tower. So Beishame Omrim Vahusha Khishev Alav Achalo Yamos Ameis. Now Beishame says that the Machshava is only good before the person died. Okay, so in other words, so right before the mace is mace. So we say, okay, that door. Okay, obviously with good bedside manners. Okay. But we point to the door. That's according to Shitas Beishame. Beisil Omrim Af Mishiyamos Ameis. And Beisil says that a Machshava works even post mortem. So after the person dies, so then you have a machshav, and that machshav is still going to be helpful, and it'll be effective even after the person died. Now, we're not done yet, meaning so far we got a Mishnah. And now, v'itmar la'amar Rav Hoshea la'tar sa'psachim ikanu la'ba. And Rav Hoshea says, fine. Obviously, we pass like Beis Hillel over here, that part we already knew, but Rav Hoshea adds to the discussion, and his addition to the discussion is, yes, but. It's true that Beis Hillel allows for a machshava to be effective after the person died. That part's true. But as far as the area under that door being tahor, and all the areas under all the other doorways being as far as that, the area of that door, the door that's going to be used as our exit being tameh, and all the other doorways are going to be tahor. As far as that halacha is concerned, that's only mikanu lahaba. That's only prospectively, that's only going forward, from this point going forward, from the point of machshava. But we're not going to say huvra davar lamafreya, that this is also going to work retroactively as well. So mikanu lahaba in lamafreya lo. Okay, so what did we all just learn together? Rav Oshia doesn't subscribe to Breira. So at the beginning of this of our daf today, we said that Rav Oshia holds a Breira, and now I'm telling you he doesn't hold a Breira. We just saw it together. So Epoch, Rav Oshia Amar in Breira, Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Breira. So the Gemara says, okay. So based on the fact that we know that Rav Oshia does not in fact hold the Breira, so what we're going to do is that we're going to go to the beginning of today's daf with our original presentation and flip it. And now we're going to say that Rav Oshia does not hold the Breira, and then we're going to say Rav Yochanan does hold the Breira. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm just telling you right now, it doesn't work. So it was a nice try, but it's not going to work. So the Gemara says, but I'm telling you that Rav Yochanan also doesn't hold the Breira. How do I know that? Because let's say you have brothers who divide an estate. So when they divide the estate, so basically what you had is you had the estate as being an entity in of itself, a financial entity in of itself. And then when they divide it, so what are they doing now? Are they bartering with one another, exchanging one item for another? In other words, I know I'm getting 50% of the estate. I know you're getting 50% of the estate. And so basically, what is this now? Is this like a transaction where we're just basically saying, I'll get the car, you get the golf clubs, or, you know, however it works out. So, or the alternative is that whatever I received was really my 50% from the point of origin. Meaning so that there is no bartering over here. I mean, yes, there's negotiation, but everything that I got was always determined to go to me. And everything you got was always determined to go to you, meaning Breira. Now, what difference does it make? So the Gemara says it actually makes a big difference. And notably, we're just going to give one example of what difference does it make, and it's going to be in Yovel. Because we know what happens in Yovel. What happens in Yovel, that everything goes back to its source. Everything goes back to its original owner. If I subscribe to Breira so you know who the original owner is me. In other words, the 50% that I got of the estate was always mine. So I'm the original owner. If, however, we don't view the division of an estate as an act of Breira, so then who's the original owner? The original owner is the estate. Well, so what does Rav Yochanan say on this very issue? So Amar Rav Yochanan, Achim Shechalku Lekuchos, Enim Achzirin Zelazeh B'Yovel. So what happens now is that in Yovel, so everything goes back to its source, meaning that everything goes back to the estate, and then we have to redivide. And so that means that every Yovel, I mean, how many Yovels are these brothers going to experience together? Right, probably just one, could be two. But anyway, but regardless, the point is that for every Yovel now, so they're going to put everything back in the pot and they're going to have to redivide and redistribute. Another opportunity to fight. Anyway, but the point is that you see Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Breira. V'chi tamik yilei sal Rav Yochanan Breira b'darai sava b'darabban islei. So the Gemara says, okay. How about this? How about I make the following suggestion? That Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Breira in the example that we just gave in terms of estate and Yerusha, because that's a din d'oraisa. But maybe he subscribes to Breira by din d'rabbanan, by din d'rabbanan. So we could be more mako, a little more flexibility by din d'rabbanan. We know we're flexible by suffix by din d'rabbanan, so maybe we'll be flexible also by Breira, by din d'rabbanan. The Gemara at least is entertaining this idea. Now, the Gemara says, I'm telling you, it's a nice try. But that too is just simply not true. So we learned in a brisa, v'hatani ayo Rabbi Yehuda, Omer ina damas nal shnei dvarim kechad elim im bachacham lamizrach eruv lamizrach lamarav eruv lamarav ilu lakan lakan lo. So we start off with a mishnah eruvin. Okay, this mishnah eruvin, Baruch Hashem, we've gone over numerous times, and the idea is that if I want to extend my tchum, it's great for in other words, and the mishnah over there describes it as extending a tchum for a good reason. I want to hear shir, meaning I know that there's going to be a rav. And I can't get to him on Shabbos and Yom Tov with the tchum that I'm having. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to extend tchum. And I'm not going to go through all the details right now in terms of the process of how to extend tchum. It's a masechta. It's called Erevin. So without going through all the details, so can I do that? So the answer, of course, is yes. You can extend your tchum. Of course, whatever you extend in one direction, you're going to lose out in the other direction. It's a zero-sum game. Anyway, so the v'havinanba. But the problem arose at the end of that mission that we just quoted. Because it says that, look, I don't know where he's coming. He may be coming from the east, he may be coming from the west. So what I'll do is I'll lay down two Erev Tchums. I'll lay one down to the east, and I'll lay down one down to the west. And you know what? I'll make the decision later. I'm not, right now, I don't have my head made up. I'll make a decision later. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I'm confused as we are now on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Well, if I didn't make the decision of either going to the east or going to the west before Yontif or Shabbos, right? Again, Erev Tchum applies both. So if I didn't make my decision beforehand in one direction, and a decision cannot be made on Yontif or on Shabbos in one direction, certainly, if let's say I have a Rav coming from the east and a Rav coming from the west, and I don't know which one I want to go to, and they're different shears, different styles, whatever, and I'll make my decision Shabbos and or Yontif, so then of course it's not going to work. So why would the Mishnah even need to give us such a scenario? Meaning it doesn't work. Well, it's the Ein Breira, Mizrach Marv, Nami Ein Breira. So the Amr Rav Yochanan Kvar Bachacham. Okay, so Rav Yochanan says, you're right, there is no Breira. Meaning Breira is simply not going to be an option. What happened over here in that particular Mishnah, he's giving an Okimta, a specific scenario, and that is that the Tamar Chacham came before Shabbos, before Yantav. It just happens to be, you didn't know what it was. But in other words, the facts are already there, the facts are already on the ground. You laid down the Erev Tchum in both directions simply because you didn't know. But the decision is not going to be based on your decision making. It's going to be based on facts that happened already before Ben Hashmashos. It just happens to be that you didn't know this information. Comes out again from all this is that Rav Yochanan rejects Breira even on a din d'rabbanan. We're talking about Tchum. Tchum is a din d'rabbanan. So even on a din d'rabbanan, Rav Yochanan is rejecting Breira. Amar leslel Rav Yochanan Breira. Okay, so ela lo'olam lo tepach. So the Gemara says, okay. So what are we going to do? We're going to go back to square one. Okay, we're going to go back to the beginning of today's daf and the way we originally presented it. Now, how do we originally present it? Rav Yochanan does not subscribe to Breira, and Rav Oshia does subscribe to Breira. V'chi leislei l'Rav Oshia Breira b'daraisa v'b'darabana nislei. Now, as far as our proving that Rav Oshia doesn't subscribe to Breira, that was a very good point. He doesn't subscribe to Breira, but that's by din daraisa he doesn't subscribe to Breira. Meaning the example that we gave with Rav Oshia earlier was Tumas Sofa Latzeis, right? The person died in the room and now he's going to be exiting and we decided which door it is and it only works from this point going forward, only for the future, but not retroactively. That's a din daraisa. That's Tumas Mace. And Tumas Sofa Latzeis is also a din daraisa, right? It's not preferish in the Torah, but it's a Lach L'Moshe Mistina. It's a din daraisa. I'm saying all this now parenthetically. There is a Rashi back on Daf Yud. Rashi back on Daf Yud says that's a din d'rabbanan. Okay. So, and then there's discussion about that Rashi back on Daf Yud. But anyway, but just for our purposes, let's say nice and simple, that's a din d'araisa. Good. So Rav Oshia does not hold a Breira by din d'araisa. The Gemara says, good, but by din d'rabbanan, Rav Oshia does hold a Breira. And so now it all works out. Meaning, okay, so vis-a-vis Tchom, which is a din d'rabbanan, Rav Oshia holds a Breira. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So basically where we stand is that Rav Yochanan doesn't hold by Breira, neither does he hold by Breira by Dini Daraisa, nor does he hold by Breira even by Din Darabanan. That sheet is Rav Yochanan. Rav Oshia, split decision. He holds by Breira when it comes to he does not hold the Breira when it comes to Din Daraisa, but he does hold the Breira when it comes to Din Darabanan. Good. And our Mishnah over here, in our sugya over here, when you have a partnered item and we're dividing it on Shabbos or on Yontif, so if you subscribe to Breira, which Rav Oshia does by Dinei Derabanan, so now, retroactively, the 50% that I took was always mine. And the 50% that you took is always going to be yours. The Gemara concludes on this very matter. The Gemara says, Darsh Mar Zutra, halacha ka Rav Oshia. So Mar Zutra Darsh, and he says, the halacha is like Rav Oshia. Okay, so a number of times that we go through Shas, so I will say, you know, where do we stand on Breira? So it's back and forth, a lot of machlokas between the Tanaim, between the Amoraim. Between the Rishonim, obviously, you know, we're not seeing the Rishonim today. We're just seeing the Tanaim and the Amoraim. But basically what we say is that by Daraisa, so we're Machmir and we say Ein Breira. And by Darabanan, we're Mekel and we say Yesh Breira. Good. That's what we say. And why do we say that? Because of the Gemara Beitza, Daf Lamed Ches, otherwise known as today's Daf. Meaning, so today's Daf, if you could put like literally a bookmark in today's Daf, so the conclusion of the Gemara regarding Breira actually comes out from today's Daf. Okay. We continue. Amr Shmuel, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, about 6-7 lines down from the top of the Amud. So, Shur Shal Patam Harei Karagli Kol Adam. So, let's say you have an animal seller, a supplier of animals, a supplier, meaning he's selling. And the sale, the transaction is not made before Yontif. And now you buy the animal on Yontif. So, can you take it home? And when I say you take it home, meaning Can the animal now adopt your tchum? So interestingly enough, the answer is yes. Okay. And this is a strange halacha, but it's predicated on the following, meaning the seller going into Yontif knows that he's going to sell. And so basically what he's saying now is that I'm forecasting that whoever is the buyer of this animal, so he's going to assume the tchum of this animal. The animal is going to assume his tchum of this animal. Now, I know it's a little bit of a challenging halacha because we've been saying repeatedly that the tchum is going to be established in Bein HaShmashos, and Bein HaShmashos, you're not the owner of it. But being that we're going into Yontif knowing that a sale is going to be made, so therefore, basically, it's almost like a condition set in during Bein HaShmashos, meaning that the tchum of this animal is not my tchum because I plan on selling it. And who does it belong to? It belongs to the buyer. Okay. Now, is this all going to be a function of Brera? The Gemara does not say. So it could be, I simply don't know. It could be that all this is only working because of Brera, or maybe not. Maybe because there's an inherent condition going into Yontif that this animal is going to be sold. Maybe the condition is going to be sufficient even if I don't hold the Brera.
When are they going to sell it?
You're selling it on Yontif itself. Yeah. We had the Gemaras earlier that talked about the purchasing of food. Remember, you can't mention the price. You don't talk money. Well, in other words, the money either you'll arrange before Yontif or after Yontif, right? After Yontif is a little bit more challenging. The Gemara talked about comps. Okay, but yes, you're buying it on Yontif. Okay, so Shor Shel Roeh Hareu Karagli Oso Ayir. Now, if it's the shepherd, so he's like a mom and pop store. Meaning there is no expectation that anyone from outside the city is going to buy from the shepherd. He's a local, only locals are buying from him. So in terms of going into Yontif, so his assumption is that I'm only going to be selling to local people. And so therefore, if an out-of-towner comes in on Yontif via Tchum, but via him extending his Tchum, so because the shepherd did not have him in mind, so therefore, the transaction of this animal from the shepherd is not going to include the tchum of an out-of-towner. Okay, these halachas admittedly are a little bit tricky, but basically it all goes on to what is the das of the seller going into Yontif. Is he somebody who's more like a Walmart, like a Target? he'll sell basically to anybody, or is he more of a local person where local people go to? Okay. Hashol kli mechaver me'erev Yontif. So you borrow a kli from your friend on Erev Yontif. So whose tchum does that kli follow? So if the borrowing occurred before Yontif, so then the shoel, then the one who borrowed. If it occurred on Yontif itself, then the mashal. And the Gemara says, you know, these two halachas that are just taught to us in the Mishnah, they're pretty obvious, right? In other words, again, Bein HaShmashos becomes a critical moment. So the Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious. Gemara says, not necessarily. Lo tzricha shalom asu lo ela b'yamtif. So the Gemara says is that we agreed to the borrowing before Yontif, but I didn't come pick it up until actually on Yontif itself. Now we have a chiddush. So ma'u detem alav b'rishusei ukmei kamash malan. So the Gemara says, okay, so I could have made the argument. Sounds like a really reasonable argument. You could have made the argument that, look, I didn't pick it up until on Yontif itself. Okay, so the tchum should follow the lender, not the borrower. That's the havamina. But the maskana is that because we agreed to it before Yontif, so therefore, the lender is basically saying that, look, I relinquish my tchum on this item, knowing that you plan on borrowing it. I didn't pick it up yet. Okay, that's fine. I'm forwarding you the tchum. Okay. So, Mitzayel el Rav Yochanan, Dam Rav Yochanan, Shoal Kli Mechaver, Me'er Yontif, Af Apish, Lo Nasnu, Lo Ela B'Yontif, Harei Karagli HaShoal. And Rav Yochanan says this beferish as a halacha, meaning that we said this as a pshat in our mission. Rav Yochanan says, yeah, not only is it good pshat in our mission, it's also the halacha as well. B'yantiv karagli hamashal. Now, let's say the loan occurs on Yontif itself, meaning with no agreement before Yontif. In other words, I come over on Yontif. Hey, do me a favor. Let me borrow, I don't know, whatever. Doesn't matter. And let me borrow your item. And so as long as now the act of borrowing is coming on Yontif itself, so whose tchum does this item follow? So it follows the owner, the lender, not the borrower. So the Gemara says, pshita. So the Gemara says, okay, once again, now this seems to be a really obvious point. And why would I need the mission to tell me that? So the Gemara says, look, there was no agreement over here in this particular scenario, but basically we can expect him to come over every Yontif. This happens every single Yontif, okay? There's certain expectations, right? On my block, Baruch Hashem. So I know on Yontif who's coming over looking for fire, okay? I can count on it. So the, okay, good. So we didn't say beforehand, hey, I'm not going to light a Yahrzeit candle going into Yontif, but I know who's coming in. Good. And maybe it's just an excuse for them to say hello to us on Yontif. Who knows? Okay, so over here, what the Gemara is suggesting is, I say the same thing over here. He comes over every Yontif, and he borrows every Yontif. So we didn't make a formal arrangement before Yontif, but I kind of expect him to come. So maybe on that expectation alone, so maybe under those circumstances, I'm going to forward him the tchum. So ma'od etema b'rishus ha'kamokim le'kamash malan. Me'emaram ar-dom ha'mishkach hinesh ha'chrinah va'azav ha'shal mineh. So the Gemara says that, look, even though you could have made this argument, the Gemara says, but we're going to reject this argument. And basically because, look, we didn't arrange before Yontif, and I'm thinking to myself, look, I'm going to retain my tchum rights on my item, even though he normally comes in, even though he normally borrows it, but he could borrow from somebody else. It's possible.
Usually, if we're changing the status of an object, you need a formal action. Here we have an object changing status just on a machshava.
I don't have a good response. I'm so with you. Meaning, I find these gemaras really, really curious. Like the under normal, especially when we're talking about tchum. I was just discussing this with my chavrusa also. Right, and just in general, when we talk about tchum, we're talking about kinyanim. Right, everything about tchum is all about kinyanim. And over here, because we agreed beforehand, okay, fine, tchum goes to you. Right, it's really curious.
Doesn't become an owner when he's borrowing?
Right, but in other words, by big kinyanim, everything by kinyanim is very formal.
So why is it that your tchum is still in effect if it becomes his? If the item becomes his as a borrower, he's actually taking ownership.
Why is it your
tchum that's still in force?
When you say ownership, so you don't really mean ownership. You mean. You mean that, in other words, it's his. Usage, it becomes his.
Right.
Good. So not only does usage become his, but the chum also becomes his as well. Right. Good. But we just learned in the Gemara that would be true even if we didn't actually borrow it on Yontif, but we agreed that he was going to borrow it before Yontif. Okay, so we agreed. Right? What bothers the doctor, bothers me as well, is that we agreed. Okay, great. We agreed. You know, even a handshake. Wonderful. But a handshake may make a kinyan. Okay, so I take back the handshake. But in other words, okay, so we agreed. Okay, but that's not how kinyanim work. I mean, an agreement is somewhat significant, but it doesn't create a kinyan. Okay. And meanwhile, when it comes to tchum, it does. Okay. V'chein ha'isha sheshalem mechaveret. Okay, so Adkan, that takes us really to the first half of today's daf. Let's close, not end, but let's close right now in the first half of today's daf, where we had a discussion regarding tchum and breira. Okay, and really it was, if I can just summarize and encapsulate the first half of today's daf, so a major discussion amongst the Amoraim, it is a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, but in today's daf, we're focused on the machlokas Amoraim, whether you subscribe to Breira or whether you don't subscribe to Breira. And where we landed on the entire discussion is Rav Oshia makes a split decision that he does not subscribe to Breira by Daraisa. He does so by the Rabban and the Gemara, paskins like Rav Oshia. Okay. And then just a couple of follow-up questions regarding borrowing on where the borrowing takes effect on Yontif, even though we agreed that it was going to be done before Yontif. And where does tchum go? Does the tchum stay by the lender? Does it transfer over to the borrower? Okay, good. Next topic that will cover us for the rest of today's daf and going well into tomorrow's daf, and that's going to be the topic of Bittul Berov. Okay, so let's remind each other what we all know, and that is that if I have a majority and a minority and they get mixed together, so we have a concept called Bittul. Well, the minority now becomes nisbatal, becomes nullified to the majority. We know this in terms of a platform of where the source of this is coming from. So, of course, it comes from Sanhedrin. Right? Rashi writes this in the beginning of our Masechta in Beitza. Right? Acharei Rabim Lahatos. That when a Beitza makes a decision, so they're always going to have an odd number, and their number is going to be at minimum 3, and could be as much as 23, could be even larger, and they're going to vote, and we're going to follow the majority. Now, that is a bit of an oversimplification. It's not always true that we follow a simple majority. But for our purposes right now, we can oversimplify. This is just the basics regarding Bittul Berov. And from there, so anytime you have a tarovis, you have a mixture, so we're going to say Bittul. And all this now is going to bring us to a question. And so but before we get to the Gemara's question, so let's remind each other what we saw at the very end of the previous Mishnah. Turn back to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah on the very bottom says, "Ein echein aisha sheshalem mechaverta Talva Mainu Melech Lisa So. So one woman's making a dough. And she goes to her neighbor and she says, look, do me a favor. I need salt, water, I need some spices. Okay, can you help me out over here? She says, sure. So Hare Elu Karagli Shteim. So the Mishnah says, now as far as Tchum is concerned, so now the dough is going to be composite. In other words, so now the dough can only be taken to common areas of the two. The Gemara's question is going to be so simple and so straightforward. The salt, the water, and the spices should be nisbato. They should become nullified to the dough. Okay? And so the contributor of that that salt and spices and water, so their tchum should be totally ignored. Totally ineffective. Predicated on the concept of bittul. Good. That is going to be the Gemara's question. It's a fantastic question. In fact, it's such a good question that we're going to be spending the rest of today and tomorrow trying to answer this question. But the story that we're going to get in the beginning of this discussion is so good. So let's dive. V'chein ha'isha sheshalem mechaver tekisalek Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba is now going up to Eretz Yisrael. He's making an aliyah, literally and spiritually. So he's going to Eretz Yisrael, and Amar Yehi Rava Deima Milsa Diskabel. And he says, look, I this is going to be my first time presenting in the Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael. I really hope I do a good job. Like, I hope they like me. Okay. And Kisalik Ashkechel Rav Yochanan, V'Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa V'Rabbi Zer V'Amri Lei Rabbi Abba V'Rabbi Shimon Mepazi V'Rabbi Yitzhak Navcha V'Yasvi V'Kamrei. Okay, so various versions in terms of which group of rabbis in Eretz Yisrael he was in front of. Regardless, he was in front of a group of Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. And now they're discussing this very Mishnah. And Amai V'Livato Maimu Melech L'Gabi Isa. And now they're asking the question, what happened to Bittul? What about Bittul? So Amalu Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba says, okay, here it is, my time to shine. And remember, he davened that everything he's going to say is going to be accepted. Now, for those of you who've been with me, everyone here in the room has been with me for a very, really long time. Baruch Hashem. Right? So this is what's called foreshadowing. Okay? And you know that either you remember the Gemara or you just remember how Gemara works. Well, that when you daven like that, it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't hear you and is not listening to your tefillah, but as I'm going to comment in just a moment, the tefillah was inappropriate. It's not me saying that. The Chasam Sofer says it, and I'll go over that in just a moment. Anyway, it's not going to go well. In fact, it doesn't go well. So, Haray. So this is now his answer, his big answer. We turn to the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Haray shenisarv lo kav chitin ba'asor kabin chitin. Shel chavero. So let's say I have a kav of wheat and you have 10 kavim of wheat and now my one kav gets mixed in with your 10 kavim and now you have 11 kavim. And now what? Yochel halav echadei. Now you're expected to eat the 11 kavim and just smile and be so happy and, oh, look at that. That's great. Look at that. I had 10, now I have 11. Life is fantastic. And so Rabbi Abba is basically saying, look, I understand bittul, but I also understand something called stealing. In other words, you can't just simply say to me, well, look, I had 10 and you had 1 and they all got mixed together and okay, good. Now I'm going to eat 11. Okay, what a great day. In other words, there's bittul and then there's something called stealing. And so what Rabbi Abba now wants to suggest is that the same thing is true over here. Over here now, in other words, the reason why you can't say bittul is because it's your dough, but it's my salt and it's my tavlin. That's why we don't say bittul.
Wait, hold it.
not yet. Just okay, good. That's why we say bittul. This is Rabbi Abba's formal presentation. So the Gemara says achichu alaha. Okay, so they laughed at him. In other words, they thought that was an amusing answer that he gave. Amusing, but of course not correct. So, Amar Ravoshia Shapir Avada Chichu Alaha. And Ravoshia said, yeah, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. So, Achichu Alaha, they laughed at him. Okay, that's the second line, we're on the second line down. So, Amar Lahu Gulticha Shakle. So he says, I don't understand why everyone's laughing. What happened? Did I take a coat? Meaning, was I part of some sort of practical joke? Right? In other words, did I do something funny? Like, why is everyone laughing? So, Hadra Achichu Alaha, so they laughed at him some more. Okay, so it didn't go well for him as an understatement, right? It was a disaster, right? His first appearance in the Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael was a total bomb. And so now the Gemara is going to discuss, meaning, what was he trying to suggest? Why did they laugh at him? Okay. So and before, so I mentioned the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that the tefillah that he said was totally inappropriate. In other words, when learning Torah, so what you should be davening for is not that what you said is going to be good and received well, and I hope they like it, because that's not the point of Torah. Point of Torah is not presentation, and it's not self-aggrandizement. Torah is all about seeking the truth. And so what you should be davening for is what I'm saying is correct. That's all. Okay. And not be concerned about how it's going to be received. Okay. That's the Chasam Sofer who was, you know, and it works well in our Gemara, meaning in our Gemara. So you see clearly that the Kadosh Baruch Hu did not listen to his tefillah. Okay. So now a discussion to be had regarding his answer and the propriety, or mostly the impropriety of his answer. So Am Rav Hoshea Shapir Avadachichol. Rav Hoshea says, yeah, good. They were right. Meaning he was wrong, they were right. So Maishna Chitim B'Sorim Delo Kamer Lehu. So you'll notice carefully that when Rabbi Abba gave his argument, so he said 10 kabam of wheat, and he mixed them with 1 kab of wheat. You notice that, right? In other words, what he didn't say is 10 kabam of wheat getting mixed up with 1 kab of barley. So the lo kamer lehu davale min b'sheino mino bato. So the and the reason why he didn't give that example is because that's what's called min b'sheino mino. A tarov is a mixture of unlike items, and a mixture of unlike items, so there, mamish bittel. He didn't give that example. And the Gemara says, chitim b'chitim nami. So now that I noticed carefully the example he didn't give, so now, based on that, I'm going to challenge the example that he did give. Because look, he gave the example of wheat and wheat. Now, nehi de la Rabbi Yehuda lo batel. Now, it's true that there is a Tana who says that there's no bittel, but that's Rabbi Yehuda. But we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but la Rabbanan, mevato batel. But according to the Chachamim, there is bittel, right? Major machlokus throughout Chas, whether or not there's bittel by min b'mino, there's no bittel by min b'mino. And we know, we saw this in Yuma, because the Avodah Yom Kippurim is the source for Rabbi Yehuda. So we know the halach is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino in a bittel. But we also know that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. And so the Gemara says over here, okay, so look, you didn't give the example of wheat and barley, because you know there's going to be bittel over there. Same thing over here. Wheat and wheat, there's we don't subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, we subscribe to the Chacham, and there's going to be bittul. Amale Rav Safra, Moshe Shapir Kamart. So Rav Safra says to Rav Hoshea, are you saying good? Right, he calls him Moshe as a term of endearment and affection. So he says, Moshe, are you saying good? V'lo shmiel lehu adam Rabbi Chia, kitu sva'a mishmei derav. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, I want to challenge you with the following. And that is a comment made by Rav. Not just a comment, but a halacha said over by Rav. And that is Haborot Soros Migranosho Chaveiro, Chayv L'Shalom Lo Demechit. Okay. So let's talk about the following halacha said over by Rav. I went and I bought from you a pound of wheat, flour, whatever. And now I go home with that pound of flour, and I notice that of that pound of flour that I purchased, I don't know, a half an ounce of it was stones and pebbles. And as I'm sifting through the flour, so I'm taking out all these stones and pebbles. And now what I'd like from you, please, is a refund. perfectly understandable, because I bought a pound of flour. And so, whatever. So let's say the stones made up a full ounce. Okay, good. So you'll refund me an ounce. And Rav says, and that, in fact, is the halacha. So, alma kila chasre. So what do you see over here? What you see over here is that you can't ignore volume. You can't ignore weight. So, and we're not going to just simply say, right, the seller can't say to the buyer, get over yourself. Right. In other words, those stones are bottle to the grain, to the flour. That's a ridiculous argument. So over here, you can't ignore volume and you can't ignore weight. So hachinami kilachasre. So over here, basically, isn't that the same thing over here? Meaning, let's go to the Rabbi Abba example of 10 and 1. Right. You have ten kavim of wheat, and one kavim of my wheat fell into your 10 kavim of wheat. So can't we make basically the same argument over there? Meaning what? You're going to now eat all 11? In other words, one of those, volume, one of them is mine. Okay. So Amalei Abaye V'loshan Alei Lamar Be'imam Sheish Lotovim L'mam Sheish Lotovim. So Abaye says, look, Rav's halach is correct, and Rabbi Abba's example is correct. It has zero bearing on our discussion right now. Zero. Why? Because let's consider. When you're talking about mamonos, I'm going to give it to you 100%. Right, I bought a pound of wheat, Turns out that there's an ounce of stones over there. Of course I'm entitled to refund. Of course we're not going to say bittul. And if my one kav of wheat gets mixed in with your 10 kav of wheat, and you go ahead and eat it, we're not going to say bittul. Of course you're going to owe me the money. Okay. All that's correct has zero bearing on our discussion. Because remember, what's our discussion? Our discussion is that there were two people who had no monetary dispute whatsoever. One woman goes over to her friend and says, look, I'm about to bake dough. I'm just missing salt. Would you lend me salt? And she says, 100%. Here, take it. Okay, good. So there is no monetary dispute whatsoever. And with a total understanding that after Yontif, you'll pay back salt, whatever the case is. But in other words, there's no monetary dispute over here whatsoever. So what's left now? The only thing that's left right now is the Isser of Tchom. Oh. So the only thing that's left now is the Isser of Tchom. So now, what do we say by Isser? It's called Bittul. So under those circumstances, so basically we should be arguing Bittul over here. We're basically back at square one. Meaning, to the question that's asked, why don't we say that there's Bittul of the salt and the spices in the dough? So at this point in time now, as much as we have endeavored to try to explain why there isn't bittul, right now we're back to square one. There really should be bittul. Okay, so it's a funny place to leave it, but this discussion goes well into tomorrow's daf. So what we'll do is that now, not well into it, but it goes into tomorrow's daf. So we'll pause over here and we'll just finish up the discussion tomorrow in terms of bittul. And let's quickly recap where we stand right now. Right, in terms of the first half of today's daf, we started with the machlokas between Rav Oshi and Rav Yochanan, whether or not we subscribe to Breira or whether we do not subscribe to Breira. So Rav Yochanan is a rejecter of Breira across the board, by Dine Daraisa, by Dine Darabanan. So Rav Yochanan rejects the concept of Breira, Ein Breira. Okay, now there is, right, again, as part of the daf, so we don't get to really go do any deep dives, but within the Shita of Rav Yochanan, there is a discussion to be had that when he rejects Breira, why is he rejecting Breira? Is he fundamentally rejecting Breira, or is his rejection of Breira just simply because of a lack of knowledge? Okay, there's obviously a much deeper dive that we're not going to go into because it's a daf, but anyway, Rav Yochanan rejects Breira. Rav Oshia, split decision. By Dina Daraisa, Ein Breira. By Dina Darabanan, Yesh Breira. And the Gemara says, and then our discussion over here about two people having a partnership of a barrel of wine and an animal, and then they split it on Yontif. So now the halacha is, according to Rav Oshia, that whatever I take was mine, lima freya, going retroactive back to Ben Hashmashos, whatever you take is yours, and shalma Yisrael. Meaning, and we do subscribe to Breira. Why? Because we're talking about tchum, and tchum is a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. Okay, that was the first half of today's daf. And then some side discussion, a couple of small discussions to finish up the first half regarding what happens when I agree to lend something to somebody, whose tchum does it adopt? Is it my tchum or is it the borrower's tchum? And the answer is, as long as we agree to the lending before Yontif, so it becomes the borrower's tchum. If we didn't agree to it beforehand, so then it's the lender's tchum. Okay, that's the... And then the other major discussion that we're right in the middle of right now, and we're going to leave ourselves off for tomorrow, is the issue of bittul. Meaning that, because what our Mishnah taught us is that when I go over to my friend and I'm making dough and I'm making bread and I'm borrowing salt and spices and I'm putting into my bread... So the halacha is that now this bread is considered a shared entity, and the bread can only be taken to the common areas of both the supplier of the dough and the supplier of the salt and spices. And the Gemara basically is wondering right now, what happened to bittul? In other words, the salt and the spices is such a small portion of the entire entity, so it should be bittul berov. And Rabbi Abba comes to Eretz Yisrael and he tries to answer this question. But when all said and done, and now we can, as we're summarizing, we can give a really simple and to still look at what's happening. So Rabbi Abba's arguments are really all monetary arguments, which are valid, just simply not relevant to our discussion. Meaning if I have one kav of mine get mixed in with your 10 kav of mine, and you go ahead and you eat all 11, so you can't just simply say to me, I'm really sorry, but listen, your one became bittul to my 10, and therefore I don't have to pay you. That's a ridiculous argument. It's a silly argument, and we don't say that. Oh, so by mamon, so we don't say bittul. And the halacha of Rav also is correct, meaning that when I buy a pound of flour and it turns out that there's stones in there, so I can demand a refund on those stones. Why don't we just say bittul? We don't say bittul under those circumstances again, because when it comes to a monetary transaction, you can't just simply argue bittul. Good. That's all correct. Has zero relevancy to our discussion, because in our discussion, this is not a monetary dispute. One woman willingly agreed to lend over her salt and her spices over to another woman. So from a monetary standpoint, we have no monetary dispute whatsoever. There's no mamash yesh lo tovin. It's now just a question of Isur of Tchum. So why don't we say bittel? Good. We leave ourselves off with the question today. And tomorrow, God willing, we'll attempt to answer the question.